Tava Mid Aleph. In the English it's 15:8:2. Four lines into the wide lines. And Tezvav Mid Aleph. The Gemara is continuing what an Oval is allowed to do, what a Metzeda is allowed to do, and what a Menuda, a person who's excommunicated, is allowed to do. So, the Gemara was before talking about putting on tefillin, that we learned, right? About if an Oval put the... Huh? We learned that an Oval putting on tefillin, right? That we learned. Yeah?
Last week?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You weren't here?
I was here. I don't think the...
Okay, so then we have to start...
I think we got up to that.
Okay, up to tefillin. Okay, so we have to, okay.
Mab and tefillin, I think that's what you said.
Huh?
Mab and tefillin, Mesura?
Avel asal anich tefillin.
Yeah.
Okay, so instead of below the line, two, four, six lines before the wide lines. I just remember which one we learned or not. Okay. Avel asal anich tefillin. An avel, a mourner, is not allowed to put on tefillin. By the way, this basically refers only until the funeral, if anything. You know, and later on the Gemara is going to discuss how many days can an Oval not wear tefillin. Okay? So Gemara says, Oval asa laniach tefillin, an Oval is not allowed to wear tefillin. How do we know this? Tezvav. Because Hashem said to Yecheskel, remember this is Yecheskel is a big source of the laws of mourning. Like we know that the story of Yecheskel was his wife was going to die to a plague. And Hashem was telling him the laws of what he's allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do.
And when he tell Moshe that?
No, the laws of mourning came later. I mean, they were told to Moshe, but the Pesukim, where we see it clearly, is by Yecheskel. So, a lot of dinim we learn, because Hashem said to Yecheskel, you are different, which means other people are not allowed to do it. Certain things, it says, you are not allowed to do it, and we learn out from Yecheskel, if he couldn't do it, other people can't do it either. But by tefillin it says, Hashem said to Yecheskel, Pe'ercho chovesh alecha, don your glory upon yourself. Meaning, tefillin is called pe'er, glory. It's the glory of Hashem to wear tefillin. So Hashem said to him, you wear tefillin. Which means, Miklal, the kulam also, that everybody else is not allowed to wear tefillin. Okay? Then the Gemara says, "Menuda mau betfilin." A person who is excommunicated, is he allowed to wear tefillin or not? Because we learned before in the Gemara the whole time, in certain laws, Avel, Menuda, and Mitzera are all equal. Sometimes they're different. So that's what the Gemara is discussing. So the question is, "Menuda mau betfilin." Can a Menuda wear tefillin or not? So the Gemara answers, "Take, we don't know." And, you know, like we say, the various different, most people are lenient in these cases. Then the Gemara says, Mitzera mao betfilin. Can a person with leprosy wear tefillin? So Gemara says, Toshma kam, I'll prove it. It says, Vatzerua, it says in the Torah, a person has leprosy, and it says, Vehatzerua, l'rabis kohen gadol. It's an extra word, the whole word is extra, because we're talking about a leper. So why does the Torah say Vehatzerua? So it teaches us even a Kohen Gadol. Okay? That means a Kohen Gadol is in the laws of leprosy. Okay? That means a Kohen Gadol could become a leper. Meaning, begod of you from him, then the passage continues and says like this. His garments shall be like premium. Sheyiyu mekuraim, which means, as the Gemara says, what does it mean that they should be torn? Like a mourner tears their clothing. Verei sheyiyu perua, and his head shall be perua. And perua means gidul sar, that he has long hair. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Well, any leper. But it also includes a Kohen Gadol. If a Kohen Gadol is a leper, his garments have to be torn, his hair has to be unshaven. Okay? Rabbi Kiva Imer, Rabbi Kiva says no. Nemra avaya bereish, v'nemra avaya bebeged. It says the word, yihyeh, by your head, and it says, Yihya, by your garment. Ma via amoda bebeget. Just like being by your garment refers to dava shochutz migufei, something which is external to the head, to the body. Meaning the garment, just like a garment is not your body, so the hair also is not your body. It says, The same thing, when it speaks about the head, it means something outside of your body also. Now, what do you have on your head that's outside of the body? My love, tefillin. It must mean tefillin. So you see, according to Rabbi Kiva, a metzera cannot wear tefillin. According to Rabbi Eliezer, a metzera is allowed to wear tefillin. So the Gemara's question is like this: can a leper wear tefillin or not? So the Gemara says it's really a machlekes tanoim, because according to Rabbi Eliezer says that a metzera has to have long hair and rent his garments, even if he's a kohen gadol. But that's like in passing. The bottom line: a metzera needs to grow his hair and tear his clothing. That means tefillin, though, he is allowed to wear. Okay, the Torah doesn't exclude it. Rabbi Kiva says no, just like garments are something outside of the body, so the same thing, hair also means something outside of the body. So what does it mean when the Torah says your hair should be ferumim? It means you shouldn't wear tefillin. So according to Rabbi Kiva, this is what the Gemara thinks. According to Rabbi Kiva, a leper cannot wear tefillin, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, he could wear tefillin. Because the Gemara thought that's what Rabbi Kiva means. So the Gemara answers, Amar Papa Lai, Abumsa Vesudra. It refers to a hat and a turban, meaning a metzera cannot wear a hat and a turban. But it doesn't mean he can't wear tefillin. So even according to Rabbi Kiva, it could be you're allowed to wear tefillin. So therefore, the Gemara's question was, does an Ava wear tefillin? No. Does an excommunicated person wear tefillin? We don't know. Taiku. A leper, the Gemara's conclusion is a leper wears tefillin.
What's wrong with wearing a hat?
Huh?
Why can't he wear?
Because the Torah says, "Rosha yefarua," his head shall be perua. Now, what does perua mean? Perua means like open. When you let your hair grow, it goes wild. It means it should be open. So he says your hair should be open. So meaning, the Gemara thought originally means you don't wear tefillin, because that closes the head like. So the Gemara says, no, maybe it means you can't wear a turban, but maybe tefillin he could wear.
Isn't the same word, parua upara et rosha, that he would uncover her hair?
Yeah, well, what does it mean? Because parua means pet adam, a wild. It means wild in Hebrew. When you don't take a haircut, your hair goes wild. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it means you can't cut your hair. Rabbi Kiva says no, because that's something that's your body. But it has to be similar to garments which are outside of your body. So what does it mean according to Rabbi Kiva? The Gemara thought it meant he can't wear tefillin. Gemara says no, he can't wear a turban. But tefillin maybe he could wear. Then the Gemara says like this. By the way, I mean, these are all practical dinim and avelis. I mean, leprosy we don't have today, and excommunication we don't have too much today. But as far as avel is concerned, the Gemara is saying all these dinim. You know, an avel doesn't wear tefillin. An avel, before the Gemara said, chai batif esrosh, he has to wrap the head like they used to do. I mean, all the various different things that he's now to take a haircut. You know, all these various things that an avel has to do. This is the source in the Gemara that a novel can't take a haircut. The only question is for how long. So in practical halacha, there's a difference between parents and all the other relatives. That means if anybody's relative passes away, the whole mourning period is only 30 days. Like a brother, sister, if somebody loses a child, God forbid, it's only 30 days mourning. They have shiva, but, you know, 30 days and that's it. Only for parents is it 12 months. In fact, the Gemara is going to learn later, it's not even a year. It's 12 months. Because if you have a leap year, where there's two others, the mourning is only 12 months. That means you can end, because that's 13-month year, because it's a leap year. You can have avelis for 12 months. You don't even have the yard site yet. There's a month of no avelis, and then you have the yard site. Because the yard site is the date of death. And avelis is 12 months. It's not even... So over there, by a parent, the Gemara, the halach is that even after 30 days, you can't take a haircut. You need... your friend has to scream at you that your hair is too long. So according to many opinions, it's 3 months. Then there's a question, 3 months from the last haircut, or 3 months from the death, which is another machlekes in halacha, what it means. But all the other mourners, after 30 days, it's over. You can go music and dancing and hair, you know.
In these laws, that you're saying 30 days for
all other relatives.
All others, and a year.
It's only for parents.
That's Kaddish? This is, we're not
talking. No, it's nothing to do with Kaddish.
Just to confirm. Yeah.
Kaddish is to do with the person who passed away.
The neshama of the deceased.
Right. For instance, if... we need a pen? Yeah. If a person... Let's say a person doesn't have any children. I'll give you an example. The Rebbe's wife passed away. The Rebbe said Kaddish for the year. Right? But his avelus is only 30 days.
That means after 30 days they can't go to party.
Even, God forbid, if a parent loses a child, it's also only 30 days.
And you can go to parties afterwards?
That's it. You can, whatever you want to do, you can do.
You don't have to.
No, you don't. I'm saying, there's no mitzvah, you have to go party.
This concept of 3 months for haircut is universal time for getting a haircut. The latest, a person without a belt. Without a belt.
Who said?
Isn't it?
No. The guy likes long hair. I mean, it's
not. Every Rosh Chodesh. Only for Rosh Chodesh.
I mean, the longer the person could wait before
he gets. As long as you want. Okay, now the Gemara says another thing which is also very practical. Avel also b'shilas shalom. An avel is not allowed to greet others. Okay? Now, like he says, and at the bottom he discusses this whole thing, which is a lot discussed in halacha. It doesn't mean you can't tell somebody good morning. In the olden times, they had a different style greeting than we have today. I mean, you bump into somebody, you say good morning or hello. That's not called actual greetings. They bring down that noting the lenient practice of his day, the contemporary greetings are not the ones prohibited by the Gemara. Because that's not you just. You know, think hello, it's out of decency. You're not going out of your way and things like that. Anyway, how do we know an Avel is not allowed to give Shalom Aleichem? Basically, the Kamal Rachman Yecheskel, because Hashem said to Yecheskel again, He'anek deim, grieve and be silent. Now, if he said, be silent, that means, don't ask about somebody else's welfare. Okay? So it's interesting. This... We learn out from Yecheskel what to do. Before we said, Yecheskel was told, you wear tefillin, which means everybody else not. Yecheskel was told by about covering yourself, you don't do it, it means everybody else has to do it.
How do you know what is
Yecheskel? So Taisa says, you see the third Taisa on Tezvav, fourth Taisa, which says, Ase b'shila sholim, de kamalei rachman li Yecheskel. He says like this, the mashma, Gemara says the pasuk would imply that God told him is shtika mishayla shalom, be quiet from giving shalom aleichem, and from Talmud Torah nami mashma. That we're going to see in the Gemara. The Gemara is soon going to speak about an oval is not allowed to learn also because Hashem told him be silent. What do you mean be silent? Don't learn. But that means Yecheskel only acted in mourning for the concept of being silent. So he didn't give shalom, and he didn't learn. He didn't do all the other things. That means tefillin he was allowed to wear. So Taisus is explaining, like it's funny. Some things we learn out from the God telling Yecheskel what to do, that we should do the same thing. And other things Hashem said, you don't do it, but everybody else does do it. Like Marshall, Hashem said to him, you wear tefillin, which means, but nobody else should. Yeah? Over here, Hashem said to him, you be quiet. And we learn out, everybody has to be quiet. So Taisus explains like this, Yecheskel had to do some avelus, but not complete. Because he was a king, and you know, it's a whole different story with Yecheskel, because he was a king. So Taisus says, Tzarech laharis biksas dvarim shu avel. In a few things, he had to show that he was a novel, but not in everything else. So therefore, Taisa doesn't say why this year and why this not. Right? The answer, I mean, logically, if you think about it, there's a reason to, Moshe, when Hashem said to him, you put on tefillin. Yeah? Why did Hashem have to tell him put on tefillin? Everybody wears tefillin. So obviously Hashem is telling him there's a reason to say you shouldn't. Why not? Because he's a novel. So Hashem says you have to. So we learn out from there not. But here Hashem is telling him, you be quiet. If he has to be quiet from learning, that means everybody else has to be quiet from learning too. In other words, the question is it active or passive? When Hashem told him active things to do, that means that he's only the only one that does it. Because if Hashem had to tell him, you put on tefillin, what do you mean you put on? Everybody puts on tefillin. Hashem is telling him that a mourner doesn't. Taisus is just explaining why certain things he did and certain things he didn't do in Avelis. So Hashem said, that's what Taisus explained, because certain things he had to show Avelis and certain things not.
But people knew that all the Avelis before this?
Yeah. There's a question, actually, when the laws of Avelis started. Is the first day Minatera, 7 days Minatera, 7 days Midrabanan? There's a lot of different opinions. According to the Rambam, only the first day is Minatera. Everything else, 7 days, is Midrabanan. And that the Gemara is going to discuss in a few pages, the whole thing, you know, how long is Avelis and so on. Okay, now the Gemara says, Menuda Mao Beshila Shalom. Can a person who, because again, we're going through three things over here, Avel, Menuda, and Metzeira, for the whole back daf, right? The Gemara is discussing this. So now the Gemara says, can a Menuda do Shila Shalom or not? So Amar Rav Yosef, Tashmakam, I'll prove it to you. It says, we learned before that when there were fast days for no rain, they ended up with 13 fasts. Each one, as they progressed, became stricter in the fast. Then it says, after the 13 fasts for rain, and they still weren't answered, so the Chachamim imposed other sanctions. They didn't want to tell the people to keep fasting, only individuals kept fasting. It was too much. What did they do? They said, they have to decrease in greeting each other. Like people are excommunicated from God. So what do you see from there? It says, after the 13 fasts, you're not allowed to give shalom, like a person who was excommunicated. So what do you see from there? That an excommunicated person cannot give shalom. Amalei Abaye said, what are you talking about? Dilma menuda l'shamayim shiny. Maybe it's excommunicated in heaven. It's worse. In other words, when there was no rain, the Jews were excommunicated by Hashem. That's much stricter than excommunicated by a person. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, you're bringing me a proof that a person who's excommunicated cannot give shalom from the din of the rain. He said, but the rain, that's excommunicated from Hashem. So maybe that's stricter. And maybe over there you can't give shalom aleichem. But a regular excommunicated person, maybe he could give shalom aleichem. So the Gemara doesn't answer. The Gemara remains where it is. Then the Gemara says, Mitzera mao b'shila shalom. Can a leper give shalom aleichem? So the Gemara says, Toshma, come, I'll prove it. It says by a leper, v'alsofim yate, he should veil himself up to his lips. Means he has to cover his face until his lips. Meaning, she is if say, says, medubak is zubazu, which teaches us that you have to close your lips. Okay? She kemenuda uka avel, that you have to be like an excommunicated person that's not allowed to speak to others. He's excommunicated. He can't communicate with others. He's like a mourner that has no mouth to talk. But also b'she'ilah shalom, and he's not allowed to greet others. So what do you see clearly? This Braisa says, a metzera cannot give shalom aleichem. And the Gemara says, Shema Amina, it's not a good proof. Because it's clear. The Braisa says, a Metzayda has to seal his mouth that he cannot give Shalom Aleichem. So if you're asking a Shalom, can a Metzayda give Shalom Aleichem? The Braisa says, clearly, you can't. And the Gemara says, Shema Amina, it's a good proof. So the Gemara asks, so then you can answer about the excommunicated person. Because what does the Mishnah say? The last price we just learned. That the leper is like a menuda and an oval, and he's also to give Shalom Aleichem. That implies that an excommunicated person could also not give Shalom Aleichem. So why you answer me about menuda, we don't know. We can prove it from this din. That he's not allowed to give Shalom Aleichem. Because it says a mitzayda is like a menuda and an oval. So, Rav Acha bar Pechzim Shmeid Rav Yosef, you can't bring a proof because that's not what the Braisa says. If you look in the Braisa, it doesn't say She'asa b'shila Shalom. Ve'asa means it's a new din. That a mitzayda is asir b'shila Shalom. But that's not connected to Menuda and Avel. Menuda and Avel has to close his lips. And then next in the Braisa says that an Avel is Asa B'Shila Shalom. I mean a Mitzayda, I'm sorry. A Mitzayda is Asa B'Shila Shalom. But that's what he says. Mik Tani Sha'asir. It doesn't say that it's Asir. It says Sheik Menuda V'Avel. And then in another thing it says, V'asir nami b'shila shalom. He's also asir b'shila shalom. But it doesn't say anywhere in this braisa that a menuda, excommunicated person, cannot give shalom aleichem. It says, a leper, menuda, and oval are similar in many dinim. And then it says, and by the way, a metzeda cannot give shalom aleichem to somebody else. But you don't know if an excommunicated person is the same way. It doesn't say she'asur. It says ve'asur. Ve'asur means it's a new din. So the bottom line of the Gemara is as follows. As far as Shalom Aleichem. An oval can't. A menuda we don't know. And a metzeda cannot.
It says Mitzur Mahu Bishilat Shalom.
Right.
If it touch my about Safam Yitish, use it and drop into the zone.
So, Menuda doesn't daven either.
Huh?
They don't daven either.
We'll learn later. He has to learn and daven.
Has to learn the laws of.
No, he has to learn. Look at this next piece of Gemara coming up.
It says his lips need to be close together.
Right.
Together.
Like a Menuda and a novel.
Like a Menuda and a novel.
But that doesn't mean he can't give Shalom Aleichem.
So what does it mean? His lips are medubakot zebezu, like menude and then
up. Whatever it means. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's not allowed. Maybe he has to wrap his head. Because, in fact, the Gemara before has learned out from the same pasuk that he has to cover his head. So maybe covering the head is like menude novel. See, if it would have said Sha'asar, that's continuation. That means Menuda and Oval cannot give Shalom Aleichem. But it doesn't say that. It says V'Asar B'Shilu Shalom. A Metzeda cannot give Shalom.
When you say that in the olden days Shalom Aleichem was different than ours.
Right.
But what does it say? Isn't it even before davening, not supposed to say Shalom Aleichem, but you say Tzofa the Maritiv?
Yeah.
For the same reason.
Same reason.
Because it meant like a whole conversation you're starting.
No, it's pashut the normal menschliche greeting.
Nowadays you could say Shalom Aleichem. The word Shalom Aleichem.
Right.
But then it meant.
Like boys, you find in Rus, boys came to the Kaitrim. There's Hashem Aleichem and the answer is there was a whole procedure. This is saying hello to somebody. I'll give you an example. It says in Halacha, I'll say Shalom to a woman. So you see a woman, so you can't say hello. It's not that type of Shalom was a very warm type of a greeting, and you know what's going on, and saying hello is hello. You know,
conversation.
Right.
I can understand this if this was a Mishnah. Are we this exact when it comes to Brayta?
Yeah. Until you can prove differently? No, I'm saying not you. I'm saying until you prove the Brayta differently, you are exact in a Brayta too. If a Brayta is contradicting a Mishnah, then you'll say the Brayta doesn't exactly mean what it says. But until you don't know that, there's no reason to think differently, so then you have a proof from here. It doesn't say Sha'asr, it says Ve'asr. There is two Tanoim that wrote it. I mean, the Pchi and Rabbi Shia wrote the Braises. Okay? So they know what they're doing. It's just, they're not as precise as a Mishnah. So if it contradicts a Mishnah, either the Brais is wrong, or you try to switch the Brais in such a way that it makes sense. But until you have a contradiction, there's no reason we don't change Braises. Just, Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Oval also be divided. An oval is not allowed to learn. Where do we learn that an oval is not allowed to learn? Midikamer Rabbi Rachman Ali Cheskel, Hashem said again, daim. The same passage, anik daim, be quiet. Now, by Torah it says, v'dibar tabam. You have to speak Torah. So if Hashem says, be quiet, what does it mean? No Torah. So the Gemara says, Menuda mao bedivri teira. Is a Menuda allowed to learn teira or not? In fact, he brings on again, Tesis and Ksubis, I didn't look it up, but Tesis and Ksubis says, like, when it comes to learning teira, Hashem said to him, you be quiet. And we learn everybody also you can't learn. I mean, everybody's learning from Yechezkel. Maybe Hashem only told Yechezkel and everybody else could learn. You know, it's like... Okay, then anyway. Menuda mal b'divri teira. Can a menuda learn teira? It was very interesting. When the Rebbe was sitting shiv after his mother in Tovshin Chofei, it was 1964, the Rebbe said shiva was only a few days because his mother passed away between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur took away the shiva. So, a lot of rabbis came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe would tell all of them to say a Dvar Torah. So, one particular Rosh Yeshiva came to the Rebbe, and he said, the Rebbe said to him, you know, say a Dvar Torah. So, he says to the Rebbe, but a novel is not allowed to learn. So, the Rebbe said to him, but you're obligated to learn. Forget me, but you have an obligation to learn, so say something. So, the guy started talking. He said a Dvar Torah. When he finished, the Rebbe smiled. This is the way the story goes. The Rebbe smiled and says, can you imagine, with one thesis, I could have refuted everything you said, and I can't do it. Can you imagine the torture I'm going through? Like, you're not allowed to learn because it makes you happy. The Rebbe said, can you imagine the suffering I'm doing now that I cannot answer back in learning because I'm not allowed to learn? Okay, so now the Gemara says, Menuda, a person who is excommunicated, mal b'divrei Torah, is he allowed to learn Torah? Or for them, is he obligated to learn Torah? In other words, if he's allowed to, he's obligated. If he's not allowed to, he's not allowed to. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said like this, Toshma, come, I'll prove it to you from a Braisa. It says, Menuda, a person who excommunicated, Shaina could teach others, v'sheinim lay, and people could teach him. He's allowed to teach Torah to others. They can't sit next to him, obviously. You have to be like 6 feet away. But he can teach them, they could teach him. Niskar, v'niskarin, like, he may be hired by others to work, and others can hire him to work. Okay, obviously away from everybody else. Then it says, Mukhram, a person is put into Chedem. Now, Chedem is more severe than Menuda. There's Nidui and Chedem. Nishamta. We're talking about Nidui and Chedem. Menuda is Nidui, and Chedem is a more severe excommunication than Menuda.
What's Menuda?
A guy is excommunicated.
Nishamta.
Huh? Some people say, he says at the bottom, there's a 230-day period of Nidui. If he still doesn't change, repent, then you put him into Chedem. It's even, you know, it's even stricter period. So it says, Mochram, a person that's actually in Chedem, Leishein of a Leishein in Leih. You can't teach him. He cannot teach others. He not may be hired by others and hires cannot, he cannot hire others. Avol shayna hu la'atzmi, but he can learn quietly by himself. Shalayafzik has limudei, not to stop his learning. Meaning, because if you don't learn, you're going to forget everything you learned. Right? So therefore he's allowed to learn. Not only that, you're allowed to make a small store for him, that he could make a living. Because the guy has to live, he's expecting to die, I mean, from hunger. But the violet in the Bryce, it says clearly that he can learn. The only question is, if you're in Nidui, you can teach, and others can teach you. But if you, even if you're in Chedem, which is stricter, you're only not allowed to teach or be taught, but you can learn yourself. And it says, you make him a little store. V'amirav, and Rav explains, what does it mean, make him a little store? Zavuna maya bepaksa daravis. There's a city called Aravis. And he can sell water in the market of Aravis. That's called a small store. No, water carrier. That he would be allowed to do. So Shema Minos, the Gemara says, from here you see clearly, that a Menuda is allowed to learn Torah. So an Aval cannot learn, but a Menuda could. Then the Gemara says, Mitzayra, Ma'o B'divrei Torah. What's the din of a Mitzayra? Can he learn Torah? So it says, Tashma, come, I'll bring a proof. It says in the Pasuk, Ve'idaitam levanecha v'levnei v'necha, you should make it known to your children and to your children's children, Yeim Hashem marita levnei Hashem alakecha b'chedev, the day that you stood before Hashem at Har Sinai. And the Gemara learns out what's the connection between these two. And he says, Ma lahalim be'emo b'yira b'resis b'zeya. Just like when the Jews received the Torah at Har Sinai, they were in dread, awe, trembling, and fear. The same thing, Torah, in later generations, you have to learn Torah with fear and awe, just like it was given. And the Gemara said, that's the connection between the Dupasik. It says, you have to tell your children, your grandchildren, the way you stood at Har Sinai. I mean, what's the connection? It means what you do is later generations have to learn Torah with the same awe and respect like they did by Har Sinai. So in fact, this is what the Gemara says. It's a famous Gemara Chassidus that brings on many places. Rava, before he started learning with his Talmidim, cracked a joke. Batche Rabbanan, the rabbis all laughed. Ulub seif yasav b'sh'emsa upasach b'sh'ma. Then they sat with fear and they started learning. Okay? So therefore, the Gemara says, when you learn Torah, you need to have fear and awe. So therefore, Mikan, from here, the Chachamim said, Hazav and Vametzeroim. Tamid, they could people, like Hazav or Mitzera. Obeyali needs this person, had relations with a woman who was in need, and therefore he became Tamei. Mutarim, the Krisbeter, and Nevi'im Muksuvim. They're allowed to learn Torah and Nevi'im Muksuvim, meaning the scriptures. Velishni is Bemed, the Shabbashats, Ba'alochas, Ba'agodis, and they can learn Gemara, Mid, Medrash, Mishnah, whatever they want. But Ubalikari and Asir, but a Balkari who had a seminal emission cannot. Why? A person whose tummy is allowed to learn Torah. So it says a Balkari can't until he goes to the mikveh, because his came from levity, from being too happy. That's what caused him to have the seminal emission. So therefore he doesn't have the awe, so he can't learn Torah. But anyway, what do you see from here clearly? It says clearly in the Braisa, a Mitzayda is allowed to learn Torah. That's what it says clearly. What does the Braisa say? Mikan Amru, Zavin, Mitzayroim, Aboyalei Nidus, could learn Torah. So you ask me a question, can a Mitzayda learn Torah? 100%. And the Gemara says, Takishma Mino. It's a good proof that a Mitzayda is allowed to learn Torah. So it's interesting. Avel not, Menuda, and Mitzayda could. Now, by the way, just for the halachic record, an oval is allowed to learn things that apply to mourning. In laws of Avelis, laws of, things like that, he's allowed to learn. Like, you can learn on Tisha B'Av, no? Those things, because Tisha B'Av were all mourners. So you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, an oval is allowed to learn. Says the Chassidus, they're allowed to learn. you know, things like that. But
can he teach?
A novel? No.
Chassidus, you allow?
Yeah.
That makes you happy.
So Rabbi,
it's above Avela. No, it's above the concept of mourning.
We have custom that during the 7 days of Shiva, when the rabbis come, they all say the Torah.
Right.
So that's okay.
For everybody else.
So even though he's
they usually connect it somehow to the Oval. Yeah, and Oval can just learn Torah. But again, the question is, how long is this Oval for? It's Mitzayit is clear as long as he's a leper. Nidoy, as long as it's excommunicated. Later, the Gemara is going to discuss when you speak about Ovo, what he could do or can't do, what are you talking about? A day, a month, Shiva, a week, you know, a month, or a year? I mean, nobody's going to say you can't learn Torah for a year, or you can't wear tefillin for a year. So later, the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what it means. We brought down before, in fact, that. The Gemara in Chof Aleph, we got a bunch of time for that. Because of dispute regarding the number of days that a mourner is forbidden to wear tefillin. So we'll see later in the Gemara. Fish eats one day. Our minig is that even then we put on tefillin. With the bracha. Without the bracha is another question. But right. Okay, now the Gemara says, the Gemara continues and says, Avel Asir B'tech Basis. A mourner cannot do laundry. Okay? How do we know that a mourner can't do laundry? Because it says like this, Vayishlach Yayav, this is not from Yecheskel, it's a different guy, for a change. Vayishlach Yayav T'kayav, Vayikav Misham Isha Chachama. I'll tell you in a second. Vayomer Elao Yisabli Na, V'livshi Na Big Day Evel, V'atasuchi Shemen, Vayisa Ki Isha Zay Yomim Rab Misabel Esameis. He said like this, Yayav sent to Tekoa, it was a city, and he brought a wise woman from there, and he said to her, if you please, pretend to be a mourner, wear garments of mourning, do not anoint yourself with oil, and be like this for many days as a woman mourning over a dead person. Okay, that's the... Now, it says like this. One second, let me just read what happened over here. The verse appears in the following context. After the incident of Amnon and Tamar, which was brother and sister living together, David exiled the son of Shalom for killing Amnon. Yoav, David's chief commander-in-chief, sought to reconcile David and Avshalom, his own son. To that end, he enlisted a wise woman from the city of Tekoa, directing her to appear before the king as a mourner to draw a parallel between her story and David's treatment of Avshalom. To lend credibility to the woman's story, Yoav taught her how to be perceived as a mourner. Okay, so this is the source. Yoav is telling this lady how to act as a mourner. Okay, now, so what do you see from there? That he told her that your clothes wear garments of mourning. What are garments of mourning is? That they smell.
Sackcloth?
No, it means that it smelled because they weren't laundered. So the Gemara proves in this passage that a novel cannot do laundry.
So who can do?
A person who's in Avel. Mm-hmm. What? What do you want to ask?
Can you put clothes in a cleaners?
No. No, during the oval, no. Again, we're going to see how long the oval is. We're talking, but as an oval, whatever the Gemara is talking about, you can't. So the Gemara asks, Menuda Mitzeroi Mayim Betek Spaces. What about Menuda and Mitzera? Again, what's their din? Tashma says, come, I'll prove it to you. It says clearly in a Braisa, Menuda and Mitzeroi Asurin Lesapet Ulechabes. They cannot take haircuts and they cannot do laundry. So it says clearly they can't. So the din of Shema Mino, it's a good proof. So it's interesting, this din, all three are the same, that they can't. In fact, at the end of this whole Gemara, they have a chart here. Yeah. Here they have a whole chart of haircut, tefillin, greeting others, studying Torah, laundering, working, bathing, wearing shoes, because we're not done in the Gemara yet. Marital relations, sending sacrifices. Okay, and they go through Avel, Menuda, Metzeda. Most of the Menuda is unresolved. Most of the Avel is forbidden. Metzeda, forbidden, unresolved, forbidden, permitted, forbidden, back and forth.
Is laundry the most restrict?
But so far, in the Agamar saying laundry, forbidden, forbidden, forbidden.
Is that the only one?
No, haircutting, forbidden, forbidden, forbidden. Donning tefillin, forbidden, unresolved, unresolved. Greeting others, forbidden. Menudah is unresolved, mitzvah forbidden. Studying Torah, only Avol is forbidden, everybody else is permitted. Laundering, forbidden, forbidden, forbidden. Working, we didn't get to the other stuff yet, so.
What is studying Torah for an Avol?
Because it says it's officially.
I don't know why it's forbidden.
Because it makes simcha.
What? Because it brings simcha?
Right.
Learn new things.
Yep. Now, Avol, all chayiv b'kriya. And Avol is obligated to tear their clothing. Okay? Why? Where do we learn out that, you know, you tear a kriya? You know, God forbid. The Kamal Rahman l'b'nei Aaron, how do we know this? Because it says, when Aaron lost his two sons, so Nadav and Aviah lost a brother, and Aaron lost a son. So what did Hashem say to them? Don't tear your garments. That means, why would they think you do? Because in Aval, let's tear the garment. Hashem says, you guys are kainim g'daylim, don't tear your garments. Miklal, the kula alma machayvet. Everybody is obligated to tear the garments. By the way, even in Aloha, I mean, while we're on this topic, there's also a difference in tearing kriya, God forbid, between a parent, when you lose a parent, or everybody else. Number one, for a parent, you tear on the left side, even though if you did the opposite side, you're yoytze, but you have to tear on the left side. You're not supposed to show it on yourself, so I'm going to show it on myself. On the left side, and everybody else you tear on the right. Everybody else, you tear one garment. For a parent, you have to tear all your garments until basically the tzitzis. Meaning, for a brother, sister, child, you know, whatever, you tear on the right side, but only one garment, jacket or a shirt. For a parent, you have to tear a jacket and shirt. Not tzitzis, not undershirt, but by a parent, you have to all the garments, so to speak.
You have to be wearing it at the time? Or you could wear the clothing later on?
No, when you tear kriya, you mean?
I mean, when you hear the news, you tear it, right? Or
the actual morning?
I know.
The full year?
The din is like this. Ideally, it says in the Gemara that if you're in a room, whoever is in a room, somebody dies, you have to tear their clothing. But they undid that one. Why? Because then it's a big schus for somebody to be in a room when somebody passes away. Nobody wanted to be in a room when a guy was dying because someone going to tear my clothing.
Schus for who?
For the person dying. It's a schus for a person dying, if there's a minion especially. But even if a Jew is there at the time they pass away, it's a schus for the person who passed away. Now, if a guy is told by halacha that if you're in a room when a guy dies, you're going to have to rip your clothing, which guy would want to be in a room when a guy dies? So people stopped being in the room. So Chacham said, you know what, forget it. Don't tear your clothing. Don't tear your clothing when... But for a parent, the custom is they tear it at the Levaya, on the way out to the funeral. But there's another difference. If you're tearing Kriya for a parent, and let's say middle of Shiva, you want to change your shirt, you have to tear that shirt too. For another relative... If you tear your clothing, you tear your clothing. If you change it, you don't have to wear. You have to tear the new one.
You have to, or don't have to?
You don't have to. But for a parent, you would have to tear the new garment. Secondly, people don't know this. Then also, when you do kriya, you have to stand. If you tore kriya sitting down, you have to redo it. There's a lot of.
I've seen in Chabad house rabbis sometimes on Saturday night they actually have him sit before they tear the garment.
Why is he tearing the garment Saturday night?
Maybe he found out that day, I don't know. I've seen it on a couple of occasions.
Have to stand.
And if not, you got to redo it. That's what it says in the book. I mean, Shulchan Aruch, that's what it says.
Unless someone is very old and very
okay, I mean, you're talking very sick. I mean, listen, you're supposed to stand for Shimon Esri too, but a guy that's in a wheelchair can't stand. That's it. I mean, you know. Okay, then the Gemara says, okay, anyway, so you see, Avel has to do Kriya. So now the Gemara says, Menuda Mal B'Kriya. Does a Menuda have to tear his gold clothing? The Gemara answers, Teiku. We don't know. Unresolved. So Gemara says, Mitzayra Mal B'Kriya. What's with a Mitzayra? Does he have to tear Kriya? So Gemara says, Toshma, come, I'll prove it. Because it says in the Pasik, But God of Yefurumim, about a Mitzayra, it says, his clothing should be Mukuroim, torn. That's what it means, begod of Yufarumim. So Gemara says, Shema Mino, it's a good proof. And like the Mefarshim ask, why does the Gemara, it's a clear pasuk. The Gemara says, does a Mitzayda tear his clothing? It says in the Chumash, begod of Yufarumim, that you have to tear him. Why does the Gemara ask? The Gemara says, because we're talking,
on someone dying.
Huh?
Someone dying, passing
away. No, so the Sasemis explains over here. Sasemis explains the Gemara's question is like this. The Torah says your garments have to be torn. The Gemara's question is, does he have to tear them or can he borrow somebody's torn clothing? That's the Gemara's question. Because otherwise, the Gemara's asking a question. It's like the Gemara says, you'll have to eat chazer. Toshma, bring it from a brice, you'll have to eat chazer. It says in the Chumash, you can't eat chazer. It says in the Torah, the god of a beggar of a mitzvah has to be torn. So what's your question? Does a mitzvah tear his clothing? It says in the Torah, you have to tear your clothing. So Sasemis explains, it means not, is it active or passive? Meaning, does he have to wear torn clothing, or does he have an obligation to tear? And the Gemara answers, the proof from the Pasuk is, what the Brais is saying, you have to tear them. And then it says, another din, which we don't do today, but it says in the Gemara, Avel Chayiv B'Kfiyas Amita. They used to overturn the bed, meaning that the legs point upwards. You know, normally a bed, the legs are on the ground, so they would have to turn over the bed in a way that the legs point upward.
Nobody would sleep on it.
Huh? No. That was the bed he slept on.
So later nobody would sleep on it.
Right. Now later the Gemara is going to talk about it, they say. But why don't we do it nowadays? Nowadays. For two reasons. Number one, because the guy used to think it's sorcery. Like it's a weird thing to do. Looks like a sorcery type of things. Or our bed is not made like the beds of the olden times, and therefore turning it over wouldn't be so conspicuous anyway. So it's like it's worthless to do it. Mm-hmm. But this thing, Taka, we don't do today.
The bed of the mourner, the bed of the deceased, but what's this?
No, he's... his bed.
The mourner.
Yeah. He has to sleep in his bed upside down. Not him upside down, the bed upside down. So the Gemara says, where do we learn this out from? She says, the Tani by Kapada, it says, Hashem says the following pasuk, the mus, the yukni, nasati bahem, Hashem says, I made you in the image of God. A person is created in the image of God. And I turned you over on the account of your sins. So therefore, overturn your beds over the deceased of a relative. In other words, men die because of their sins. So Hashem said, I created you in the image of God. Now that you sinned, and therefore you died, turn your bed over. I mean, the mourner turns his bed over.
The mourner, now that you sin and you died. If you died, so it means the person died. It's not mourning.
Huh?
Now that you sin and you died.
It sounds a little funny. It's
why?
It sounds like the person died, so I pray.
Why did he die? Because of his sins. So therefore, turn your bed. You can't turn his bed off. He's
so you're going because.
Because you're a relative of the person.
It says, yeah, the facial appearances was overturned, that's why, or transformed, that's why they...
Huh?
Number two?
Yeah, and they're because of the facial appearance. Yeah, but the question is, why should the guy who's alive do it?
Yeah, that's my question.
They should do it to the guy who died. Yeah. Because the answer is he's punished for it. Then he explains why a bed, because a bed was used to sit on it and sleep on it, and a bed represents the formation of a new life, you know, relations that create a new life and all that. But now the Gemara says, Menuda Metzera Mahim B'Kfir Samita. How about a Metzera and a Menuda? Do they have to turn over the beds? And the Gemara says, Teiku. So he brings out an interesting Ritva at the bottom. The Chaira, a Metzera also sinned. A guy who's excommunicated is because he sinned. So why don't they have to turn over the beds? And as the reason, L'cheira should apply. If you're saying a mourner has to turn over the bed because of sin, so the Metzera and the Menuda for sure have to turn over the bed. So he says, no, it doesn't apply. Why? Because to reflect the transformation of the face by death, they didn't die. You know, they considered like dead or not. But they were turned over to become outcasts. So the Gemara's question, maybe they have to or not, and the Gemara says, Teiku. We don't know. Then the Gemara continues and says, Avol aser b'asiyas malach. An avol is not allowed to work. And this is a very important din. Dechziv, because it says, V'afachti chageichem la'avol. Hashem said, I'm turning your festivals into mourning. What?
Is the car waiting for Moshe?
Which Moshe? Is the car waiting for you? Whatever. Says. It says. So it says. Hashem said, I'm going to transform your holiday into Avel. So we're liking Avelis to Chag. So Mach a Chag also b'mlocha. Just like on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to work. An Avel also can't work. Okay. Now, Menuda Ma'u Abasiyas Malacha. What about a Menuda? Can a Menuda, excommunicated person, work? I'm going to have Yosef Toshma come, I'll prove it to you. It says, Ksha'amro Asibasiyas Malacha, again in the public fast days, you know, after the 13th fast, it says you're not allowed to work. It says, Le'amro Alabayim, you're only not allowed to work during the day. Ava Balayla, but at night, Mutter, that you're allowed to work. Vechein Ata Meitze, so you find the Menuda of Avon in the case of an excommunicated person in a mourner. So what do you see from there? That they're not allowed to work during the day, but they're allowed to work during the night.
Work during the night?
At night they're allowed to work.
Look at the grave, I'm sure.
No, on the evening of the fast they're allowed to. Meaning, the day of the fast, when they're fasting for no rain, they were not allowed to work. But they didn't fast 24 hours, so the night of the fast they were allowed to eat. I mean, not to work. So the Gemara says, "My, what does it mean? Probably like menuda and oval, akula and all the dinim, including the work stuff." So the Gemara says, "Lay ashar, it means everything else, not to work. Maybe work they're allowed to work. You don't know about work. When it says that the public fasts were likened to the menuda and the oval, it means everything else. But now you know it means about work." So he says, "Tashma, come, I'll prove it to you." It says. Menuda shayne v'shaynim lay. It says clearly that a menuda, this bracha was brought down before, a menuda could teach and he could be taught. Niska, he could be hired out to work. V'niskan lay, and he can be hired, people can be hired to him. So what are you talking about? Work. Shema mino, you see from here, he's allowed to work. And the Gemara says it's a good proof. It says clearly, he can be hired out or you can hire people for him. Then the Gemara says, "Metzeda ma'u basiyas malacha." What's the story with a metzeda doing work? Teiku. Again, we don't know. So there's a lot of teikus in the Gemara. What many do shenim write, because the Gemara doesn't answer any of these questions. When in all these cases, when the Gemara answers, I mean, in this Gemara, when the Gemara says teiku, you're lenient and you could do it. And that was if it can say the bottom line, can it say the work? Yes. Because the Gemara doesn't answer it. And the Gemara doesn't answer it, you go lenient. Huh?
Maybe lenient is not supposed to work.
Who?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, to be lenient.
But is he allowed to study?
Is it the Rabbanan?
What?
Savid
Rabbanan Lukula.
If it's a take with an Isa?
It's not.
So if something that would be.
No, if it's takum in a tater, then you're strict. One second.
Teach me time to speak with my eyes.
You take off in the Torah?
Maybe.
One second. Where is it? He brings down over here at the bottom. Here. It's much later. Regarding the halacha in those instances where the Gemara leaves the matter unresolved, Rif, Rosh, and other Rishenim maintain that the more lenient positions to be followed in the case of the excommunicate, except with putting on shoes that we didn't learn yet. That means they're basing the halacha Michael because it's Midrabanan, and therefore it could be Michael.